from 90.9 WBUR. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston. Coming up, it's our Week in Review. Impeachment hearings continue.
I remain disappointed that the department's leadership and others have declined to acknowledge that the attacks against me and others are dangerously wrong.
Plus, former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick is running for president. Should he?
If running for president is a Hail Mary under any circumstances, this is like a Hail Mary from two stadiums over.
Also, the Massachusetts House voted to ban all flavored tobacco products.
For all those kids that have gotten addicted to nicotine, when they have to go somewhere, tobacco will welcome them right back to menthol.
That's all next on WBUR's Radio Boston.
Thanks for listening to the Radio Boston podcast. If you'd like to support WBUR, go to radioboston.org and click the pledge button in the upper right-hand corner. Okay, back to the show.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It's still Friday, and so we will have a foreshortened week in review. It does seem to make sense to start with the latest on the impeachment inquiry. We've been listening all day as former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, gave her public testimony before a congressional committee. She described a, quote, smear campaign against her by the president's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, and others before she was recalled from her post.
I remain disappointed that the department's leadership and others have declined to acknowledge that the attacks against me and others are dangerously wrong.
Yovanovitch also talked about the impact of the fight over the president's actions on U.S. diplomacy. That was also a concern of former Ambassador Nick Burns.
And if we cannot come to the truth here, then I think we look like we're a diminished democracy. And that's not what the United States has been. For many, many decades, we've been the strongest democracy in the world. Other countries have looked up to us. That's at stake as well, our credibility overseas.
But Republicans, including California Representative Devin Nunes today, say these public hearings are all just a distraction.
It's unfortunate that today and for most of next week, we will continue engaging in the Democrats' day-long TV spectacles instead of solving the problems we were all sent to Washington to address.
Here in Studio 3 to help us break it down is Joe Battenfeld. He's a political columnist at the Boston Herald and host of Battenfeld on Boston Herald Radio. Joe, welcome.
Great to be here.
Also, Marie St. Fleur. She's a former Massachusetts state representative and now a principal at St. Fleur Communications. She's also the chief operating officer of proposed recreational and medical marijuana shops. Marie, welcome.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
So we want to hear from you as well. Have you been following the public testimony this week? What do you make of it? How are the Republicans, Democrats handling it in your mind? Call us and join the conversation. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK or tweet us at Radio Boston. All right, so we will get into some tweets that the president made this morning in a few minutes, but I do just want to start with asking the two of you, two big days of public testimony this week. What are your takeaways? Joe, you start.
Well, good news and bad news for Democrats. The good news is people are watching this, 13 million on the first day, according to TV ratings. The bad news is that the ratings leader was Fox News. So more people were watching it on Fox News than anywhere else, which is probably not what the Democrats had in mind. But I do think that it's dinged the president certainly a little, but I don't think it's moved the needle enough to cause any Republicans to abandon the president. Things are pretty much the same. If anything, they're strengthened. Republicans seem more strengthened than anything. So I don't think it accomplished necessarily what they were hoping to accomplish, which is why they're now talking about bribery instead of quid pro quo.
The Democrats are talking about.
Yes.
Marie, do you agree with Joe's assessment?
Well, I agree that it is good news that the public is watching, whether it's Fox News or not. I think it's actually really good that Fox News is watching because they seem to have less concern. And so this perhaps may be an opportunity for them to have a larger understanding, not simply taking the word of their congressional delegation or others who are speaking in Washington to hear directly from people who are involved in preserving our democracy. So I actually think that's a positive. I also think that it's a positive that this is a public public statements are being made now, because in the end of the day, not just Republicans, Democrats have questions about this government as well. So the fact that we can actually have a public conversation, have testimony be told and the story be told in a way that could be understood better than Mueller's report, I think is very positive.
So Joe Marie said, you know, the Fox News viewers, Fox News Republicans seem to be less concerned. It raises a question for me that's been on my mind a lot, which is there's strategy, right? A strategy can be to be not concerned. A strategy can be to be gravely concerned. But is it reasonable to believe that the average American, who may or may not be paying attention at this moment, but if they are, isn't sure yet whether this should be a terribly concerning thing? Joe, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that polls continually show that only about half of the public, it's pretty much split. Only about half the public thinks that Trump should be impeached. The other half does not think he should be removed from office, at least. So, you know, if you go by opinion polls, I think the country is deeply divided on this. And now that they're getting, I think it is good. I agree with Marie that it's good that these are now public hearings, that people can watch them for themselves and decide for themselves whether this amounts to impeachable offenses or not.
Marie, what do you think?
Yes, I think that there's an education that's happening. We assume that people understand how our government operates. We assume that a lot of the inside baseball that a lot of pundits and others and those of us who are involved in it on the day-to-day get, that regular people pay attention at that level. I mean, regular people don't tend to know who their city councilors are, who their state reps are, and how things operate on a day-to-day basis, never mind foreign affairs. And so I think the fact that the Democrats are taking the time, honestly, to illustrate the way that the government operates is educative for everyone. And I think that it allows the folks who don't believe at least to be able to get a glimpse at another narrative, because they've been fed another narrative. They don't trust what the Democrats are saying. Now they have an opportunity to form their own opinion. I think that's a positive.
On this note of the public becoming educated, we spoke with Congressman Stephen Lynch yesterday, and he was talking about both the extent to which maybe people are or are not paying attention, but also his worry about whether they're taking it seriously.
You hope that people still have a sense of the importance of the rule of law in this country. And it doesn't become, you know, some type of reality show where, you know, people don't appreciate the gravity of what the president has done here.
Joe, do you think we're watching the rule of law in action, or would you say we're watching a reality show?
I think it's closer to a reality show. I think a lot of it has been scripted, certainly on both sides, Republicans and Democrats. And I think that I don't agree that people are taking it necessarily gravely seriously. I think it's mostly a lot of people consider it a partisan affair. Basically, what's going on is that it's deeply partisan. Democrats are trying out to get Trump. Republicans are out to trying to defend him. And that's what's going on here.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK if you want to join the conversation. Lisa, you are on with Marie and Joe. You're in Peabody. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have to agree with Marie. Like Marie said, a lot of people don't know who their representatives are. Yes, until very few years, so to say, I wasn't paying attention to that. But it's amazing to me how now the Republican representatives are underestimated the intelligence of the American people. This is absurd. And like we are listening from people that are condecorated, people that are respected, they are working for the country for so long, and they're literally, in other words, calling them liars, or we shouldn't consider them or what they're being true. It's absurd.
Thanks, Lisa. I'm going to add one more call. Let's take Haley from Boston. Haley, what's on your mind?
Yes, I'm calling. I am a registered Republican, and I had always support Donald Trump. But after hearing the hearing on Wednesday and today, I am really changing my mind and very disappointed and disappointing Donald Trump and listen to Fox News. I decided to listen to the hearing this past Wednesday and today and the radio station. And after hearing what I heard, I will be supporting the impeachment, because I am really disappointed in the way that we have been represented by the president and his ally in Boston.
Thank you for that, Haley. So we have these two calls. We have Lisa and Peabody saying Republicans are underestimating the intelligence of the people. Haley from Boston saying, I came in with an open mind. I watched, and here's where I'm coming out. Joe.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, the reaction that people are getting. I do think there are going to be some people who are paying attention, who are watching this, who might be thinking, yeah, what Trump did really was closer to bribery than anything else. And that's the Democrats' argument, because before this, the Democrats were arguing it was a quid pro quo we kept hearing. Then all of a sudden, yesterday, they changed it to bribery, which is obviously more serious. And people can understand bribery a lot better than quid pro quo.
So you think that's about framing?
Yeah, I think it's a framing issue. I think the Democrats, in fact, were losing the argument on it, whether it's a quid pro quo. It wasn't really generating enough heat. And so the bribery...
I even have trouble saying it.
Yeah, exactly. So bribery, it sounds a lot worse. In fact.
So, Marie, you were nodding a bunch of times there. Let me just turn it over to you.
So I want to say, I think that language matters. And I think that that's part of the problem both Democrats and Republicans have had in talking to regular people, that we use language that people are not using every day. I use a Latin term, and we have not really, people may have heard it colloquially, but don't necessarily understand what it means. But it's clear when you say bribery what we're talking about, and most folks have a clue as to what that means. The other piece is, I do think we shouldn't underestimate the American public. I think that they've tuned us, the Democrats and Republicans, out because they really believe that they've been talked down to. But I think what this has been instructive is that you have career professionals, some who are decorated war veterans, who have given their lives and to this country, who are testifying as to what their concerns are. So, yes, there's spin. Democrats have spin. Republicans have spin. But at the end of the day, it's the credibility of the people, the witnesses who are before that body. And I think the American public is grateful enough to understand that when you send that public servant out, he is working not for Democrats or Republicans. He's working for America. When you go pay your sewer bill, you're hoping that the bureaucrat that's sitting there is not going to decide to give you water or electricity based upon whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. You're going to give it to you because it's the right thing to do and you're a citizen and a resident and they're supposed to do their jobs. They understand that. And I think this has been very good for the country.
All right. So we've got one more wrinkle on this that I want to get to before we take a break, which is that while Yovanovitch was testifying this morning, President Trump started tweeting and addressing Marie Yovanovitch directly. One of parts of the tweets was, quote, everywhere Marie Yovanovitch went turned bad. And he insisted that it's his, quote, absolute right to appoint ambassadors. That led Representative Adam Schiff to read the tweets out loud to her. And here's the exchange.
And now the president in real time is attacking you. What effect do you think that has on other witnesses' willingness to come forward and expose wrongdoing?
Well, it's very intimidating.
It's designed to intimidate, is it not?
I mean, I can't speak to what the president is trying to do, but I think the effect is to be intimidating.
Schiff went on later to tell MSNBC that he saw this as witness intimidation and obstruction of justice, which he takes very seriously. Those are arguably impeachable claims. Did the president behave in a way that forced another threshold this morning, Marie?
I think they should stay focused, honestly. I mean, I think they're bringing too many issues in. I mean, this is the guy that they have, the president. They have not been able to regulate his the way he behaves. And he's not, you're not going to be able to regulate the way he behaves. And so the fact that you brought, to me, it's almost an extraneous issue at that point that you're bringing in. And so stay focused on the facts, which is whether or not we ask the foreign government to investigate an American citizen, whether he was the vice president of the United States or whatever. That's the issue, because given the prowess of the United States, the number of investigatory powers that we have, the departments and agencies that we have, we can conduct, whether it be covert or operations in order to figure out what's going on, that we would ask a government that we know to have been corrupt to investigate an American citizen, I find laughable.
Joe.
And I think Trump was deliberately trying to hijack the whole process today by tweeting that out. He dominated the news. We didn't hear so much about what Ambassador Yovanovitch was saying. We heard more about this tweet.
Everyone went squall.
Yep.
Yeah, as typical Trump, you know, hijacking the process. And I think he meant to do that.
All right. So I'm about to go to a break. We had several other calls. I'm not going to have time to get to them, but many of them were focused on things like, hey, you asked for these to be in public, so now they're in public. You know, pay attention to the timing of the release of the aid. This shows that we can't trivialize what President Trump has done. So lots of callers of interest there. Joe Battenfeld, political columnist at the Boston Herald and host of Battenfeld on Boston Herald Radio. Stay with us. Marie St. Fleur, former Massachusetts state rep, stay with us. I'm Tiziana Deering. There's more ahead. This is Radio Boston. Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It's Friday, and we're continuing with our foreshortened week in review, and we want to continue with news that former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick is running for president. His announcement comes with just 3 months to go until the first primary. Here's Governor Patrick on Thursday.
If running for president is a Hail Mary under any circumstances, this is like a Hail Mary from two stadiums over.
So still with us in the studio is Joe Battenfeld. He's a political columnist at the Boston Herald and host of Battenfeld on Boston Herald Radio. Thanks for staying with
us. Sure.
Also, Marie St. Fleur. She's a former Massachusetts state representative and now a principal at St. Fleur Communications. Marie, thanks for staying with us.
Good to be here.
And you, thanks for staying with us. Will you vote for Deval Patrick? Was it a good idea for him to enter the race? Do you think these late arrivals help or hurt any given candidate's path to victory? You can give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. All right. Marie, Joe, were you surprised to see Governor Patrick throw his hat in at this point? You should see their faces, listeners. I wish people could.
You go first, Marie.
Thanks. Yes. Yes, I would say definitely I was surprised. I mean, I was just happy that two had dropped out and the Democratic side, and that we at least were able to get everybody on one stage. So it was a surprise. So, but listen. Bloomberg is thinking about it, too. So here we go.
And Hillary Clinton, too, if you believe what she says.
Yes, she has said that many, many people have asked her to run.
Exactly.
So were you surprised, or did you think something like
this
was coming?
Well, I wasn't surprised. Once the initial report came out in the New York Times, then it was clear that he was going to run. But before that, yes, I was surprised, given how late it is in the process, and we hadn't heard from him before. Really, there was no indication that he was interested in running. But all I can say is it is late in the process. It might be a Hail Mary. But I covered Deval Patrick's first campaign for governor. Everybody dismissed him then and didn't think he had a chance. So I would never underestimate him again.
So when the announcement came that he was thinking about it, when that was first reported earlier this week, my first reaction was, okay, well, there had been a lot of people in this primary. At one point, we had more than two dozen Democrats who were candidates. And it made me think, well, does that mean that people think this is a weak field? If folks are entering this late, does that say something about the field, or does it say that the elites in the party are concerned about the field? What do you think, Marie?
I think it signals concern. I mean, I would think so. I think overarchingly, everybody should have been concerned all along, given the number of people we have in the race. I just hope that there's a strategy here that will be revealed to us soon, and that that will sort of whittle that field down so that we can all get focused on the clear issues that the Democrats are going to move forward. As it relates to Governor Patrick, I mean, I think the window that he creates, and that's just from my read, is that everybody's talking about, has so much focused on Trump and not really about whether or not you're going to fight. Senator Warren talks about what she's going to fight against, but it all is wrapped around Trump. She has a plan, and it's all one of the things that I think the governor can bring is to at least be talking about us as Americans again versus our various tribes. And I think for the majority of the people on the stage, as I've watched the various the debates, it's still very much us against the other versus how we're going to move this country forward. And I think it's good to be able to have somebody that's going to talk about how we move this country forward. The other piece is I'm hoping that in terms of the positive pieces of having these 12 or 20, what is it now, 14 folks, candidates running is that there are various constituencies that they're going to appeal to. And so maybe that may help with voter turnout. That may be help with voter
people
engagement
getting kind of riled up
as we get closer towards the primary.
All right. 1-800-423-8255 is the number. Tim from Quincy, you are on the line. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Your guest really already said it. I'm excited that Deval Patrick wants to run. I think the timing is ill-conceived, and it makes me worry that the Democratic Party really is not organized, and I worry that we might lose it because of that.
So, Joe, should a party be more organized than this, or is at this point, or is this part of the primary
process?
Well,
the party, yeah, they can't really control who's going to run. But I do think I agree with a caller that there is great concern among voters that they don't have a candidate yet who can beat President Trump, including that includes Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, all of them. And I think that's why there's a slight opening for somebody like Deval Patrick to come, who's more of a unifying candidate, who has a unifying message. And, you know, that he's a very inspirational speaker. I mean, he has a mixed record in Massachusetts. Don't get me wrong. He doesn't have a great record, but he is a great speaker, and he might be able to motivate some people. Unfortunately, he will not be in the debate, so at least the next debate.
Not the next one.
No.
We don't know yet if he'll qualify for December. So to that point, Joe, I talked to Governor Patrick yesterday. I was really asking him, what are the big issues that you want as your signature? He gave a little bit different answer. Here he is.
I'm going to save that because I don't want it to overtake the overarching theme, because frankly, I think we spend a whole lot of time at launches like these on the how and what the sensational signature proposal is, and not on the why, our why, that this is about us.
So, Marie, that feels like that's consistent with the point you were making, and I see you nodding. Let me ask you to react to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what he brings. There has not been a unifying message, and I think that that's what he'll be able to bring to the table in this race right now. And, you know, you have to think about the folks on the stage, the 12 or 14 candidates currently are playing to the folks who will come out in the Democratic primary. But we need to win some other states. And I think that Governor Patrick may have a greater opportunity to speak to some of the population in the other states, like maybe Florida, Michigan, Pennsylvania. I mean, he has would be a more balanced message, because I don't believe that the message that Senator Warren is pushing forward is necessarily going to be embraced wholeheartedly. In that part of the country as it is here, I think that folks are concerned around Biden as to whether or not he will be able to push through. And so, yeah, I think it'll be interesting to watch Governor Patrick.
So, Joe, just quickly in a word, is there a path forward for him?
There's a slight path forward for him, but I don't think he can get away with for long saying, you know, I'll talk about the issues later and whatever my proposals are. He's going to have to come up with that very quickly. And there's going to be tremendous blowback. A lot of people are going to be criticizing and scrutinizing his record as governor of Massachusetts. The other candidates certainly do not want him in the race.
All right. So let's leave a little time for our hubbubs. Those are those stories or events that caught our eye this week. Joe, I'm going to turn to you first for your hubbub.
All right. Full Moon, which is, I don't know if anyone's ever been there. It's a great place to eat like brunch or dinner in Cambridge. And you could bring your kids there. They encourage people to bring their kids there. It's great for families. Unfortunately, it is closing. Mm. Another restaurant like Doyle's, an institution, going down the drain. Sign of the times, I guess, but it's unfortunate. It was a great place.
Did you bring your family there?
I did. I brought my kids there. They had like things, crayons, thing for the kids to do, little train sets. And they encourage, you know, as a parent of young kids, you're not welcome very many places, unfortunately. That place, you were welcomed.
So good night, Full Moon.
Yep.
How about you, Marie?
It's not as nice as James, but it's the flying train doors. You know, these poor commuters who are packed on a train, and then all of a sudden the doors fly open, and then, you know, and the T says, we're sorry for the uncomfortable ride.
So wait, back up, because some of our listeners may not know about this one. What happened and where?
So I think it was the day before. I don't think it's the first time that it's happened. You have a packed commuter train ride. I think it's heading towards Brockton, and the doors of the commuter train flies open
while the train is moving,
and you see the train.
I guess that's not funny.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
There's videos of the train speeding by, and these poor folks just hanging on, in order not to get caught, and so they get out, and they're happy they get out safely, and then I guess the next day they get this, you know, apology, and the apology is sorry for the uncomfortable train ride. And it's not the first time it's happened. I think it's the second time it's happened in the past month. And so I'd say, you know, uncomfortable train ride, I think we got to get this fixed.
Well, we do have to admit, it would be uncomfortable. Yes, it would. Okay, so I have a serious hubbub today. I want to take a moment today to remember Lieutenant Jason Menard, the firefighter who died battling a fire in Worcester this week. He was 39 years old. He became trapped while helping people escape the burning building. Here's Worcester Fire Chief Michael Lavoie.
Lieutenant Menard heroically and selflessly saved his crew, helping a probationary firefighter to the stairs and then returning to rescue another trapped firefighter, assisting him out the window.
He leaves behind his wife, Tina, three children, and his parents. Firefighters put their lives on the line every day. It just seems really important to remember that. All right. Marie St. Fleur, former Massachusetts state representative and now a principal at St. Fleur Communications. Thanks for being with us this week.
It's always good to see you, Tiziana.
And Joe Battenfeld, political columnist. I can never say that. At the Boston Herald and host of Battenfeld on Boston Herald Radio.
Thanks for having me.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Zoe Mitchell, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, Jamie Bologna, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again next Monday for more Radio Boston.